Lord, we just pray that you would be with us this morning, that you would open our hearts to more of you. God, that you'd be alive in us. God, we need you. We're thankful for your word, for your name that has such power. Would you bring change in our life, God, that we'd be closer to you today. We love you and we give you this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Would you give a hand for the young adult team this morning? Hallelujah. Y'all could be seated. Thank you. Thank you. Truly, I am just filled with joy and just so encouraged to see these people. If you don't know, I'm Pastor Josh. I am the youth and young adult pastor here at Harvest. And these people are not the same people they used to be, truly. These young adults, God has done something in their life. And it's really cool to see them be able to just stand in worship and lead us in worship, even to want to worship compared to where some of them were. Man, it's just so awesome when God really does a change in someone's life. To me, that is real Christianity. Amen. I want to brag on God for just a second. We had a discipleship program this summer for 7 weeks. We had junior high and high schoolers come all day Wednesday, all day Thursday, and Sunday mornings. And kind of that was our same goal, that God would be real in their life, that they wouldn't have to come to church. I'm thankful parents and grandparents, you make them sometimes so they get a chance to feel God. But I just want people to want the same thing God did in my life, just transformation, that we choose God. And I will tell you, God did not disappoint. It didn't start perfect. Day one, you know, I talked up the Lord and the presence of God and worship, and I had planned for 30 minutes of worship. And after about 20, we cut it. We weren't ready. But by week seven, hour and 15 minutes of worship, hands lifted up, calling on the name of Jesus, wanting to go deeper. Man, God is so good. Amen. Amen. I'm just truly, to me, that is what Christianity is all about, this real thing. I did not grow up in church, so for me, God has always been very real. Well, once I knew him. He was very real to me, changed my life. And there's just something about that authentic faith that changes you. You are not the same person after you encounter the Lord. And this morning, that's what I want to share with you. I just really felt led by prayer to share this idea of authentic faith. So if you take notes, I'll have probably 3 whole things for you to write down today. So here's one, authentic faith, real deep. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for your faithfulness in our lives. And God, I'm honored that you would use me to share with people who may be far more along than I am. But God, I know that your word is truth and it does not return void. And so, Lord, I just pray that your word would speak to all of us today. Help us to know you more. Help us to understand and have real, authentic faith that would please you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I don't know if you can tell. Me and my wife were talking about it the other day, but I feel like you can truly tell when someone really knows God. Even pastors have good seasons, and I don't mean that you should not be critical by any means, but like I can sit some of the time, wow, that's real good revelation. They just have such a good attitude, or whether it's a family member or a friend. I'm different when I spend time with God. When I'm not, you know, my patience is a little bit lower, things that, you know, it's, my wife would never tell you that, but I just know that there's some authentic thing that happens in us when we really are spending time in the presence of God. And of course, you're dead without him, you're alive with him. There should be a difference between dead and alive, amen? I mean, there should be a huge difference. And over time, it should transform us into new people. It really should. I would venture to say most of you are not the same person you used to be. God has helped transform you. Now, sometimes we just change, but I mean in a good way, the before and after, I am not the same person. These young adults are not the same people, and it's a good thing. I love what God does in this real, authentic faith. However, sometimes we get in this understanding that Christianity is a bunch of difficult, not fun, righteous things that we have to do, and a lot of fun things that we want to do but we shouldn't do, and we have to do it right, and then maybe go to heaven. Woo, who doesn't want that? And maybe as you age, that's not really the issue. I know as I work with young people and in me when I first got saved, that's kind of how I felt. But if you've been in it, you realize that is not how it is at all. That when you really begin to live for the Lord, it does change you and you love it. You begin to desire the good things in your life and you begin to not really want those bad things anymore. There's no loss. You begin to love who you are in a good way. And I believe it's biblical. Psalms 37:4 says to take delight in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. And to me, that's like a smoker. If you smoke, it doesn't even matter how many years, 10, 15, 20 years, when you quit, really quit, not still on the patch quit, not one cigarette a day. I mean, when it is not a part of your life, it starts to change. And that one thing that was bad for you that you desired, now when you smell it, you don't really like it. You're like, why are you smoking around me? Gross. And it changes you. And I believe that is exactly what God does in us. He's done it in me. I don't know why. I used to cuss like 3 or 4 cuss words in every sentence. That's just what you did in high school. I don't know why we do that. I don't know. But you just do. And I got saved, and I will tell you that's one of the things that God just delivered me from. Some things are deliver, some are sanctification, it's a process. I don't think I've said a single curse word since I've been saved. That's awesome. But I will tell you that as I grew closer to God in those first couple years of my faith, and God was really changing me, and it was so real, that my heart really changed in that area. I was so used to it. It didn't mean anything to me, but eventually someone would curse, and I'd be like I'd feel it. I'd be like, what? Why would you do that? Like, I don't like that, right? I didn't desire it. I didn't even want it. I realized what was good for me. I wanted what was good for me. Same thing like scary movies. I used to love these crazy demonic movies. I don't know why. Now I watch them like, what are you doing? Why would I ever watch that? Sorry if you watch scary movies, but that's just what God has done in my heart. He's changed me. And I think you would believe and maybe can even attest that you are not the same, right? And you even desire better things for your life. That's a good thing. However, I also believe there's the other side of that thing. I believe there are a lot of people in here today who really truly believe in God, love God, and God's even changed you in your life. But as I was praying to get ready for this morning, I had a different sermon I wanted to preach because it had that cool revelation that I really liked. But I really just felt this is what the Lord wanted for us. And he was just showing me that our church and every church have a lot of Christians who believe in God, who have even had God work in their life, but they're still in bondage in a lot of areas of their life. And they still go home feeling inadequate and discouraged. They still go home and argue and feel stressed out about things. And we struggle with things that God wants to get out of our life. That some areas he has brought real change, but there are other areas that we still struggle with. And church, I really believe there's more for us. Whether you are fairly new, whether you're going through a crazy mess, or you're the saints of this church, I'll tell you, we have some saints. We have some ladies and some men that come and they pray open heaven in this place. And I am so grateful for all of you. We need you. We are blessed by you. But even for you, I believe God has more. In John 3:16, this book, I truly do believe is life. I think if you're a Christian, you have to believe that. This is the word. This is what we believe. And when you can get in this thing and know this thing, it will change you and encourage you. And that's what helps bring that better you out. John 3:16, you have to have faith in that scripture. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him would not perish but have everlasting life. That's good news. Amen? I mean, that's, of course, that's Christianity. If we believe in God, we can have everlasting life. Easier enough to believe that. To be a Christian, you have to. But there are other scriptures we have some trouble sometimes holding on to. And I'll tell you, church, this thing is either all real or it's not real. You can't just make up the ones that you like. You might as well not even use the Bible. Just write up, make up your own God. That's what that is. And it sounds extreme, but that's the truth. This is true or it's not true. And so if you believe today and God has showed up in your life and the word has been found true in your heart, then it's all true. So the another scripture, John 14:12, is a little bit harder for me to hold on to. And it's not a bad one. It's great. Jesus says, I tell you the truth. Anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done. And even greater works, because I'm going to be with the Father. Now, I'll tell you, as a pastor, I feel fairly confident in my faith. I haven't always, but I have fought for the presence of God, and I have tried my very best, and I have a lot of work to do. Amen. But I hear from God. I pray for people, and God reveals things. I mean, there's fruit in my life. I if I compare myself, which is a horrible thing to do, who would ever do that? But if I compared myself, I'm definitely not the best, and it's not about, but I feel confident that I have a real relationship with God. Then I read a scripture like that.
I'm supposed to do works as big or greater than Jesus, who raised people from the dead, who himself came back for the, I'm like, okay, I'm nothing. Help me. Right? I mean, but we have to believe that just the same. In fact, he's saying the same thing. If you believe in me, you'll have everlasting life. If you believe in me, you will do greater works than me. Church, there's more for us then. That's good news. There is more God wants to do through us and in us, that we got to get some junk out of our life and allow God to have real, authentic place in our heart so we can become and do what he has done and even greater. I believe that. Even the word salvation. If we believe that, that he died so that we could be saved, that word means saved, healed, and delivered. So in the same faith that you have to be saved, you have the same, you got to believe healed and delivered, amen? And that's good news. And I believe God is doing that in our lives. But I also believe that sometimes God has done a work in some areas of our life and we feel fairly satisfied and we almost don't realize the other areas that God still is trying to work out in us. That we can become confident in certain areas or distracted or whatever the word is, that we lose sight of what God is still trying to do. And I believe it's biblical that we would examine our hearts regularly and say, God, is there anything else that I can do for you? And some of you do that, but there's a scripture to solidify that. 2 Corinthians 13:5. Examine yourself to see if your faith is genuine or authentic. Test yourselves. Surely you know that Jesus Christ is among you or in you. If not, you have failed the test of genuine or authentic faith. God wants to be in us and come through us, okay? We can't be so good at Christianity that we're able to smile and love people because we're supposed to. It should be an overflow of what God is doing in us that we can't help but to love people, right? God wants the same way that New Testament church, the disciples, man, they were different. They got the term Christian. They were labeled that because they acted so much like Jesus that they were like little Christs. That's how our lives are supposed to look like, to be Christ-like. Amen. And so we want that to be real and genuine and not casual and not forced. And I believe there's a scripture to me that, man, it just kind of wakes me up a little bit, and it makes me, because if you're like me, and this sermon is just as much for me, it's easy to feel like you're doing fairly well. And those same confident people also know their life's a mess, like me. But we just know that God, if you sense the presence of God from time to time and you're committed to church, you feel fairly confident. But I read a scripture like this in Matthew 7, 13 and 14, and it's a wake-up call to me and hopefully to all of us. It's a scripture you've heard before, I'm sure. You can enter God's kingdom only through the narrow gate. The highway to hell is broad, and its gates are wide for the many who choose that way. But the gateway to life is very narrow, and the road is difficult, and only a few ever find it. I don't know about you, but sometimes life is feeling okay. That doesn't mean drama doesn't happen and craziness doesn't happen, but my faith doesn't falter, and so I feel like I'm okay. But it's saying that the gateway, that the road is difficult, it's narrow. If few find it, we can't take that lightly. We can't all just assume, since we're regular attendees and we love the Lord and we give from time to time, that we're there. I just feel when I read that, it's difficult. It's gonna cost. It's hard. We gotta be intentional about making it all of the way and staying on the right path and not swaying. I think the further you go in Christianity, the more that's expected out of you and the higher standard you're held. And so how you lived a year ago may have been sufficient to make heaven, but at this point, God is trying to grow us more and take us deeper and make us more like him. And so I think of it like a gym. If you go to the gym, you could be a faithful gym attender. 4 times a week, you go and watch people work out. You have a good attitude. They have a good attitude. You're in there. Come on, you got 10 more. Yeah, yeah. You know, like you're watching their technique. You're like, oh, yeah, you're learning what's good. You're seeing some people change. You're seeing some people not change. I mean, you are a part of the gym, but you don't touch the weights, but you don't work out. Is it going to change your life? No. And in the same way, like, we can be convinced, we can be distracted sometimes and how faithful we are at attending church and participating or watching people change. And we can be really good at seeing other people grow or not grow and not realize that we're not going for it and giving it and sacrificing what it takes. Similar way, please don't take offense if this is you, but if you go to the gym, you're on like a bike or a treadmill or something, and you're able to laugh and giggle with your friend and read your book and text your kids, that's not bad. But that is not going to transform your body, okay? I'm just telling you, it's good, do it, but it's not gonna change your whole body, okay? And in the same way, and I feel like there are some real Christians in this place that truly give all to God, but I feel like there are a lot of us who maybe don't even know that there's more for us. In the same way, you can't just come to church fairly frequently and kind of just participate and not cost you something and expect life change. You might feel a little bit better. You might be a little bit encouraged. You might feel the presence of God. Doesn't mean you don't love God. Doesn't mean you're not real. But I'm saying it costs everything if you want restoration in your marriage. It costs everything if you want real breakthrough and transformation in your life. Jesus says, if you are truly my disciple, you will die to yourself, carry your cross, and follow me daily. I believe there's more for us, church. I believe that we are good in some areas and others, maybe we're not fully all the way trusting and believing and authentic before the Lord. Do we really seek the Lord in all we do? Do we trust him with all our heart and not need to understand, or do we kind of have it figured out sometimes? Jump to conclusions. We know what God would want because he's always wanted it that way. That's scary. Do we knock until he answers and opens that door? Do people really know us by the love for one another? Not just the people that we love at church, but the ones that can be difficult. Do we really love? I believe that's what God has for us. Otherwise, we slip into this casual Christianity where we can excuse maybe some of the areas that we're not doing awesome in because we do well in other areas. And we can even forget things that God is trying to work out in our life, where we could be so good at the amens and the hallelujahs and the high fives and the hugs that junk could be going on inside, but we've just gotten good at having enough of God to sustain. And I just believe there's more for us. And if you allow me to take you on a little story here, if you'd put yourself in the story, what if I asked someone around you that knows you well, a friend, a family member, how are you doing? How are they doing? Insert your name. Do they complain a lot? Do they have a good attitude? Do they love the Lord? I mean, do you hear them talk about what God's doing in their life? Some of y'all are already concerned. But you might be thinking like, well, what day? Or is it at church or at home? Or, okay, that's not good. But let's just assume that you'd get a fairly good report. I think we have a lot of people here at Harvest who truly do love God and truly have changed and done something. So let's just assume there's a good report. For the most part, nobody's perfect. What if I had that same exact talk with Jesus? I want you to genuinely imagine, not just I'm praying and Lord, like I go up to heaven and I'm at the gates and I'm talking to the Lord through the gate, and I'm saying, "Hey, Lord, holy. Hey, I'm praying over some of the people at Harvest, and I'm just really looking for some direction. I know everyone around them says they're doing pretty good, but I don't know, Lord. What do you say? Would God's report about you be any different than the ones around you? Here's what I mean. Maybe the people around you say, "Oh yeah, they're so nice, man. They just love everybody." And then God can say, "Yeah, you know what? They do. They really do. They're always so kind. But inside, it's not always real. Or inside, but they're lonely. They go home and alone and nobody knows. Yeah, they go to life group. They're plugged in. But they still feel like they have no friends." Do they know that? Do your friends know that? Does your family know the junk in our life that we still, yeah, they're so generous. They always give. But they're frustrated because they don't see the changes to the church that they're expecting with that money. Or they don't see the breakthrough. But do we know that? Here's what I mean. If God, who really knows what's going on in your heart, has a different understanding than the people closest to you, we have a problem. Your reputation has become more important than your character. And it doesn't have to be a malicious thing. We don't do that to try to trick people. But I think sometimes we feel like we're supposed to have it together enough, or it's, I don't want to burden the people around me. We are the body of Christ. We need each other. We need to be able to say, hey, I need help. I'm not doing so good. Would you pray for me? The church has got a reputation for beating people when they're down. We need to flip that and say, hey, we're here. And I'm going to have some things that I'm doing good in that maybe I can encourage you in. And you might have some things I'm not doing so hot in. And we'll have grace for each other and honor each other and build each other. That's the church, right? But that's authentic faith. And it starts with being real with ourselves. I think if we're not careful, it can just become a part of our life. We just have trouble with our kids. We love them. We're praying. We're believing God to move. But are we still hearing God telling us what the next step is? Are we still fighting on heaven's door for an answer and breakthrough? Some, yes, but sometimes it becomes a casual. We get into the motions and we don't realize that there's more for us. And I really do believe that there's more. But let's just play that out. Because to me, we have to be careful that we don't get into a reputation of being a Christian when we got some death on the inside. Let's say you make it all the way to death. And everyone around you goes, wow, God bless them. Man, they're in heaven rejoicing. What an honor. They've been such a blessing in my life. But you were dead halfway on the inside, and maybe you don't even make it to heaven because God was trying to bring some life in you, and it ends up killing you, and you're not even in heaven. Was it worth it? If the whole world honors you as a Christian in heaven, but you don't make it, there's no reward in that. And I know that sounds extreme, but I'm concerned that a lot of us are in that place. And I know that I'm young, and I know that who am I to say that? And I know that this message is just as much for me. I will tell you, church, I have areas of my life I do very well in, and I don't mean that pridefully. I mean, I truly want God to move in my life. But as I'm studying for this word, I feel convicted to say, wow, there have been areas that I've kind of not ignored, but definitely not allowed God to do whatever he can do. Definitely not made a focus. Definitely not brought before people to help or to be encouraged by or prayed for. And I need to answer this message. And there's a scripture that really awakened me not too long ago. Well, actually years ago, but it just continues to come before me that I believe is what I'm saying. And it's Matthew chapter 7, 21 to 23. Not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of the Father in heaven will enter. On judgment day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name. We cast out demons in your name. We performed many miracles in your name. But I will reply, I never knew you. Get away from me, you who break God's laws. Whew. I'll tell you, when I first heard this scripture, I was barely saved. I mean, you can't be barely saved. I was saved. But I was such a mess that I was praying repentance like 3 times a day. And then I read this scripture. I'm like, wait a second. People are casting out demons in the name of Jesus, and they're not going to heaven? I quit. No way. But I realized it's not about that. That God does not care how good you are at being a Christian. He doesn't care about how good you are about saying I love you and giving the high fives and the hugs. He wants it to be real. He wants a relationship with you. He wants to know you. He wants to change you so that you become that person. That you don't cast out devils because you have to be a Christian, because it's just a part of you, and that darkness cannot stay when your light comes. Are you with me? I just believe there's more. There's more change for us, and we have to be careful not to justify some of the junk that we are maybe still in. None of it's okay to the Lord. Now, God is so graceful, and none of us will ever be perfect. But I just think there might be some things that we just need to examine and say, am I still real in this area, God? Could you do more for me? Should I do more? One of the things, parents, especially grandparents, man, you have to live what you tell your kids to live. You have to do it. It's got to be real. Yeah, I know it's hard. But you cannot tell your 15-year-old they can't watch that, but you can because you're an adult. It's not what age you are. It's what your faith is in. It's what you believe, which defines what we watch and what we listen to, right? And we have to live it, church. If they don't see the growth and excitement of Jesus in you, why would they want it? It's got to be real in our life. And so we have to allow God to be alive and continue to grow you. I know you've changed. I know you're a better person, but there's more for us. And we need to see it in us. They need to see it in us, that we are continuing to grow, continuing to bow down and be broken before the Lord. And I have two things here, the two things to write down, that disobedience destroys your desire to pray. Look, you might not even feel passionate or motivated or have any hope that things could be broken because you maybe didn't do the things God asked you to do to change those things in the past. Sometimes that means breaking off certain relationships or apologizing for things or forgiving people, even though what they did was wrong. Things that are hard, things that don't make sense. But does God not know? When God asks us to do something, does it help him? No, it's for you. And so we got to get back to that place where we just listen to God. That to me is real authentic faith. When we say God, when God speaks and we obey, otherwise we don't desire it anymore. Compromise kills your conviction. It's the other point that I want to share this morning. Look, it doesn't seem harmful to just watch that thing. It's entertaining. You work hard. You deserve it. Look, God doesn't care. He wants you to live. Everything he gives us is for life, and to believe anything else is we've been deceived. And when we compromise, we feel less and less bad about it, and you might not realize it, but some things might seem okay in your life because you still feel God, and you still love God, and God still moves in your life, and you've allowed this here, but you might not still be growing. Are you continually to be transformed? Is there still radical fruit in your life where people want what you have? If not, maybe we have something in our life that we just need to say, okay, Lord, where did I go wrong? What am I maybe adding in a little too much of that shouldn't be in my life? I believe God has more for us, and it really is good news. John 8, 31 and 32. Jesus said to the people who believed in him, "You are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings." Here we are at this again. This is life. This is truth. If you believe in me, you'll have everlasting life. If you believe in me, you will do greater things than me, Jesus says. And now he says, if you believe in me, you will remain faithful to my teachings. But church, this is so good. Amen. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Come on, that's good news. I don't know if this word has brought life to you yet, but it has to me. I remember I would feel disqualified all of the time because of my actions, and then and people would tell me things, but this is how God made it true in my life. When I read that he loved me, even when I hated him, even when I was in sin, when I learned about unconditional love, and I didn't just know I was supposed to believe that, the word was truth in my life, and I could break the lies that I would feel, and I found freedom, and I was changed. It was real. It's good news. Team, you could come up. I got one more scripture for you all this morning. I will say, though, on that, you have to, again, evaluate this morning. Is our faith genuine in every area? Is this what defines your life? What you watch on TV, how do you decide that? It should be based on this right here. How you act in a relationship, what's appropriate before marriage, during marriage, how do we decide that? Right here. This, all this gender and sexuality stuff. Look, we are not allowed to have opinions. We have truth right here. It's gotta be. That's what brings life, but it's for us. It changes us. Real faith transforms us. John 15, last scripture. Starting in verse 1, it says, "I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener." If there's a true grapevine, that means there's a fake one, okay? But he has to tell you that. That means we don't realize it all the time. That means sometimes you think you're connected and you think you're growing, but you're not. So I'm saying, hey, this morning, let's just make sure we are truly where God wants us to be, that we can continue to grow in him. Let's skip to verse 7. "But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask anything you want and it'll be granted." Hallelujah. "When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples, and that brings great glory to my Father." Again, a self-examination. Am I really still producing fruit? Not do I just know how to worship, not do I love God, but are people being changed and encouraged by me? Is there fruit? Because if not, we need to awaken that again. There's more for us, church. Verse 9, I loved you even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. When you obey my commandments,
you remain in my love. So God is saying, you need to produce fruit. You need to obey my commandments. And when you obey my commandments, you remain in my love. You truly love me. Verse 11, this is what I really like. This is where I'm going. I have told you these things so that you will be filled with joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. Church, there's nothing like having real, authentic faith. When we just allow God to reign and rule in our life, things break off. That junk that we think and just is a part, doesn't have to be a part of your life. I don't know who I'm talking to this morning. I know a lot of you are faithful, but I believe all of us can go deeper. And I believe that there's more for a lot of us than just kind of showing up and doing our thing and being a part of some singing parts. But I'm saying, like, is your life about you and God's in it, or do you live for God? Because when you live for God, God changes you and you become transformed and all that craziness leaves your life. And so I just ask you to stand with me this morning, and I'll tell you, there are lots of testimonies I'm sure many of you can share. This girl right here is one to me. This is Hannah, and she grew up here as a child. She was in children's church and into junior high, and she ended up kind of doing her thing and going off into the world, and life hit her hard. And she got some junk in her life that she would tell you. And she got just anxiety and depression. And it got to a point, she said, that she would drive through stop signs. She wasn't suicidal per se, but she would drive through stop signs. And if someone hit her, I mean, that's desperation that happens. But sure enough, God became real in her life. She started coming back. And at first, it was just little things, just feeling God. You know, she was here, but not, she was being changed. She was growing, but not transformed yet. But something happened in the last few months. I will tell you, this girl is not the same girl, okay? There was like some slow, gradual growth. There were some moments of great breakthrough. Maybe you've all experienced that. But then she became a new person. I just mean she has joy. She was able to endure some tragedy that would have destroyed her before. And now she has faith. She's being used to minister. Man, she's hearing from God. Amen. That's good news. But I asked her why. How? What changed? And her testimony is that, well, this is great. She goes, I knew what I was supposed to do because I told her, right, some things. Pastor Micaiah told her something. She goes, but I started actually doing these things. I started reading my word, and God started telling me things. And I started listening, and I started to actually give up and make the changes in my real faith. Authentic faith will change you, truly. And so, church, this morning, I just want to pray over you. And then I want us to sing and tell God that he reigns in our heart. But I want to pray over you. If we would just evaluate our hearts and just be willing to say, God, I want all of you. And be willing to say, God, if there are things that have maybe need to be awakened again, if I need to deal with some things, if there's some areas that I have not been transparent that people need to know about to heal and help me and pray for me, whatever it may be, hopefully it's most all of us here this morning. But if you're here and you would agree with me and answer this call as I answer it and say, God, I want you to reign in my life. I want you to be real. Would you just raise your hands so that I could pray with you this morning? Father, I just pray for every person here. God, first, I just thank you. Thank you that you made a way that we may live. God, and forgive us for not always having it together. But Lord, I truly believe that there is more for us. God, I pray that we would get into your word and we would know it, and it would become truth and life to us, God, that we would follow you for our sake, because it's life. Your way is life. And so, Lord, I pray for every hand that's lifted up. God, would you do the impossible? There's some incredible needs and hurts and discouragement, God, that we just need a mighty healer to come and touch, a resurrected king to come and bring life. God, right where we're at, Lord, I just pray that you give us new faith, real, authentic faith, transformational faith. God, would you help us to hear your voice again, to be obedient to your word, to know the difference, God, not be critical and know when God's speaking to other people, God, that we would hear your voice. Lord, I just give our hearts to you this morning and say that you reign in this place. In Jesus' name.